Appreciate that song, Emmanuel, God with us. Aren't you glad God came to us? Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10, and we'll get there here in just a few minutes. But thanks so much to Pastor for the opportunity to preach tonight. Thank you all for being here tonight. Please pray for him and Brother Patterson again as they're speaking at the children's home in Mexico. Pastor sent me a few pictures today. All the children got to enjoy a gift today and some pinatas. They were very excited about that. Pastor said he got to preach in chapel as well as during their Christmas celebration. So continue to pray for them as they're wrapping things up this evening, heading back home tomorrow, and we're looking forward to both of them returning tomorrow. So thank you. Some of you noticed on the prayer list, my mom's name, Sandy Mann. She had rotator cuff surgery, and I hear that is not, obviously, no surgery is fun, but that is definitely a difficult one to recover from. So continue to pray for my mom. She's doing well. She's probably watching tonight. Hi, Mom. Good to see you. Don't wave with the bad arm. Wave with the good arm, okay? I hope you'll continue to pray for my mom. And thanks to our AV team. Without them down here and the ones upstairs, folks away from here would not be able to watch. I know sometimes if some of us aren't feeling well and have to tune in live stream, that is such a blessing. So thank you so much. My aunt lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she calls Worth Baptist Church her home church. She's not able to get out to church much, so she's able to watch live stream. So thank you so much to those who, many folks behind the scenes who lead that ministry. Thank you for that. As you're in Luke chapter 10, we'll get there here in just a minute. But as the song says, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere we go, okay? You look everywhere, okay? Not only are we surrounded by Christmas decor as we enter the doors of our local retailers, we're also surrounded by people frantically rushing around trying to find gifts and other things that they need, or at least they think they need, in preparation for the holiday festivities. Many folks have Christmas activities or traditions, and some of you are thinking right now, what kind of traditions do we do in our home other than eat lots of food? That's one of my favorite ones. Food is my hobby, okay? But many folks have Christmas traditions that they thoroughly enjoy participating in. And again, maybe you're thinking of something right now. Many have been participating in these activities for a number of years. Maybe you've done something in your home for a long time, and maybe that's been passed down from grandparents or whoever it is. At the count of three, I want you to say your favorite Christmas tradition or activity. One, two, three. I heard. Okay, hopefully you said something. How many of you it was food related? How many of you it was food related? Okay, good. How many it was some type of decorating type activity? Okay, maybe going to see some Christmas lights. How many of you say, nothing at all, my life is not exciting, I live the most boring life ever? There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. We're going to talk about that more here in just a little bit, okay? Perhaps your idea of a wonderful Christmas activity or Christmas tradition is singing carols and drinking hot chocolate by the fireplace. Maybe not by the fireplace. Maybe by a TV that's playing a YouTube video of a fireplace somewhere else in the world and is playing lovely Christmas music, because we all know living in Texas, it only applies to like 2.5 days out of the year to where you should really be using a fireplace anyways because it's so hot here, okay? Maybe you like decorating Christmas cookies. Maybe it's decorating the Christmas tree as a family. Perhaps you like sending Christmas cards. Maybe some of you design and make your own cards. That's a lovely craft that I would not be good at. Maybe you like wearing a less than fashionable tacky Christmas sweater that you received in a gift exchange last year. Or maybe you enjoy attempting to skillfully hang lights in an orderly fashion on the roof line of your home without falling off of a ladder, okay? Maybe there's some other type of activity or Christmas tradition you like to take part in. You can't help but love this time of year. I love Christmas time, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Really, from Thanksgiving all the way until the next Thanksgiving is wonderful too, okay? But this message isn't necessarily specifically about Christmas, but I believe it has principles and truths in it that'll help you and help each of us during this busy time of the year, as well as the rest of the busy times of the year that we call life. So as we look in Luke chapter 10, let's read in verses 38 through 42, and if you'll follow along as I read. The Bible says in verse number 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that part, which shall not be taken away from her. I'd like to draw your attention to just a few things tonight. I'll try not to be long. But three phrases in this passage, I'd like to encourage you to underline these phrases if you're in the habit of doing so. I like to underline in my Bible and make notes, not to take away from anything, but to emphasize things the next time I read it. If I'm reading through something in my devotions, it's nice to come across a passage where I've underlined or made a note, and it brings thoughts back to mind. So if you're in the habit of underlining things, these three phrases are each connected to specific individuals within this passage. Phrase number one, we see in verse number 39, the Bible says, sat at Jesus' feet. If you would underline that, highlight that, put a star by it, maybe make a note in your journal. So again, phrase number one is in verse 39, sat at Jesus' feet. Phrase number two in verse number 40, we see the phrase cumbered about much serving. Cumbered about much serving. Phrase number three in verse number 42, one thing is needful. We see three phrases here. Mainly the first two are connected to specific individuals. The third referring back to one of those individuals and their service to the Lord. And we see if one thing is needful, and we see two different phrases, which one of these is the most needful of phrases? In this passage of Scripture, a contrast or comparison is given, not just between two phrases, but a comparison between two separate individuals. Now, honestly, if we were to step back and quickly come to a conclusion in our minds as we analyze just what we've read thus far, and I know many of you have probably heard a message about this before, maybe you've read this in your devotions, and you already have a conclusion drawn in your mind logically, just imagine this is your first time reading this passage, and we were to come to some kind of conclusion of which one of these is the best. We might see that there's one person who is simply sitting and not working. And let's be honest, that frustrates a whole lot of us when we see people who are not working, who are not doing something, who are not applying their life to something. And there's another person who is working hard and quite honestly consumed with their task at hand. We'll discuss this further throughout the message, but first, let's look at the setting in which this story takes place. You know, we see Jesus and his disciples, they are traveling. They're traveling all throughout his earthly ministry. They finally come to a point where they're traveling through a village. Now, a village is not the same thing as a city, nor is it the same thing as a town, nor is it the same thing as a booming metropolis. A village is the smallest of these four types of locations. I just so happen to grow up in a village. Please don't call me the village people. I grew up in a village of Farmersville, Ohio. Has anybody ever been to Farmersville, Ohio? Okay, wow, a couple hands, all right? Farmersville, Ohio is a village. Now, when you think of the name Farmersville, I know what you're thinking. You automatically think of subway stations, airports, high-rise hotels, and fancy cars, right? Not exactly, okay? When I was growing up in the village of Farmersville, Ohio, it was so small it didn't even have a stoplight. Now, I know that's shocking and that's hard for you to understand being here in the big city, okay? There wasn't even a subway restaurant, let alone a subway station. Instead of airports, you see wide open fields of corn, wheat, or soybeans, and those fields are dotted with the occasional dairy farm, perhaps a hog farm, many of these farms that my brothers and I worked on as we grew up and are continuing to grow up, okay? Instead of high-rise hotels, you occasionally see a silo with a grain elevator at the local feed store. And fancy cars in the village of Farmersville? Nah. You're more likely to see a farmer showing off his new tractor or combine instead of chirping the tires on the latest sports car, okay? This was a small place. I'm thankful for growing up in a small town. I learn a lot of things and thankful for the privilege to work on a farm and so forth. This is not what the message is about. What I'm saying is Farmersville is a tiny village nestled in the middle of corn country in southwestern Ohio, similar in size to that of Bethany. The name of this village that Jesus and his disciples entered into was called Bethany. Now again, this village of Bethany was fairly insignificant in and of itself. But when Jesus came on the scene, Bethany was put on the map. In addition to this passage of Scripture, we see Jesus visiting this village a few other times throughout the Gospels. There was nowhere that the Lord wouldn't go in order to minister to people, including the small village of Bethany. And we too should consider every single part of our area and everywhere that we go, understand that there are people in need of the gospel, in need of salvation, and who will tell them if we don't? Let's all do our part to go into the highways and hedges and compel folks to come in. Now, as we have looked at the small village of Bethany, I want you to zoom in a little bit more in this map of Scripture, because the Bible takes us not just to a village, but the Bible takes us into a home. And as we are looking at this home, the Bible zooms in even more to individuals who are inside that home. Jesus is the main focus of this message and should be the main focus of every single message. And I'm thankful for a pastor that no matter what he's preaching, he always ends up with Jesus Christ. He always emphasizes the gospel. Listen, folks, that's not every church in this country, in this world. We should be thankful for that. Thank God for the powerful preaching that we get every single week through our pastor. Amen. We see another person. In addition to Jesus, we see another person coming onto the scene. A sister of two siblings, and her name is Martha. Martha, probably the oldest of these three siblings, greeted Jesus and his disciples at her front door. She was welcoming them into her home. Although humbled and excited that Jesus and his disciples would spend time in her home, she continued to go back, do her work, and serve and entertain her guests. Take a look in verse number 39. This introduces us to the sister sibling of Martha. Her name, what is it, class? Mary. As Mary is introduced into this biblical account, we see that she was doing two specific things. Take a look. Number one, her position seated on the floor signifies her humility and respect toward Jesus Christ, God's Son. We see in verse number 39, the Bible says she sat at Jesus' feet. Now, wouldn't you like to be in that position? Wouldn't you like to be able to just sit at the feet of Jesus in the flesh and just listen to him speaking? Thankfully, he's given us his word, so we can do that. No, we're not going to see him with our eyes, but we can read his words. We can look at those words that are in red and soak in as much as possible, just like Mary did as she was sitting at the feet of God Almighty, as she was sitting at Jesus' feet. She wasn't simply sitting at his feet. She was intently listening. Now, some people could have been sitting there and just kind of doing their own thing, maybe wandering, their mind wandering out and on some other topic or whatever, but she was truly listening. She, like a sponge, she was soaking up every single word that proceeded out of his mouth. Mary was consumed and in awe as she listened to Jesus speak in an audible voice. Again, wouldn't you love to be there? Mary was sitting and listening to Jesus on purpose. She knew that no matter what he had to say, she wanted to hear it. She wanted to listen to it. She wanted to apply it to her life. In verse number 40, the attention is shifted back directly toward Martha. And we know that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and listening, but what was Martha doing? She was doing what many of us would have been doing at that particular time. Let's be honest, okay? Would I have been the one sitting at Jesus' feet? I don't know. I'd venture to say probably not. I'd be the one worried about the details. I'd be the one making sure that this is taken care of and this is taken care of and making sure the guests are feeling welcome. Martha was making sure her guests were well taken care of. Martha was perhaps making sure that there was not a dirty dish in sight and that not a speck of dust was on the furniture of their little home in Bethany. Martha wasn't simply doing chores while she listened in to what Jesus was saying. The Bible says she was cumbered about much serving. What does this mean? Now, the word cumbered means drawn around or wrapped up. Martha was completely consumed and wrapped up with the tasks of managing temporal material things without even considering the eternal words that her guest, that her Lord, was saying to them. Now, in the middle of verse number 40, we see Martha speaks up and says something. Her statement toward the Lord was that of frustration and overwhelming exhaustion. She said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" And imagine the emotion in her voice as the older sister telling on her younger sibling. All of us have seen that, whether in our own lives or in the lives of our children or grandchildren. "Lord, my sister's not doing anything. She's being lazy. I'm doing all the work." She missed it completely because Jesus does care about every area of our lives. Her prideful statement revealed a lot about her spirituality at this particular point in her life. Now, not only was she throwing Mary under the bus, as most siblings do on a regular basis, she went on to tell Jesus, her Lord, what to do. She said to the Lord, bid her therefore that she help me. She didn't say please. She didn't say would you. She didn't say could you. She said, bid her therefore that she help me now. She was saying, I can't do all this hard housework by myself, and my sister Mary's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Make her come help me. You know, again, sounds like my kids at home. Mom, Dad, he's not helping clean the room. How many of you have heard that before? Recently? Today? Okay, good. Glad I'm not the only one. This was far more important. This situation was far more important than simply tidying up a room, though. It was a matter of priorities. Martha should not have tried to demand that Jesus do what she said. Take a look at verse number 41. Jesus answers Martha with kindness, sincerity, and love. He said, Martha, Martha. Imagine that. Said her name not just once, but twice. Martha, Martha. Now, anytime you hear someone's name twice, you know they better pay attention because what they're about to hear is extremely important or they're going to get in big trouble. In Genesis 22:1, God said, Abraham, Abraham. Now, just imagine if Abraham hadn't listened at that point, he would have taken the life of his son Isaac instead of the ram that was caught in the thicket. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 4, God spoke from a burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. Think they should have listened up? Yes, and I'm glad they did. Take your sandals off. This is holy ground. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking to one of his disciples, said, Simon, I am praying for you always. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In kind response to her demand, Jesus said, Martha, Martha. I could imagine the loving look on his face as he addressed her twice by name. Martha, Martha. This, I don't believe, was a stern calling out at all, but kind and gentle. Martha. Now that he had her full attention, he first addressed her current state of being. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He could see it on her face. He obviously knew everything about her. But Jesus could tell simply by the look on her face, by the stressed actions that she was relaying to others, that she was troubled about many things. When we use the word careful, we typically use the meaning of being cautious. But this use of the word careful takes the meaning of being anxious, being worried, and being consumed. Martha, your service and work are much appreciated, but you must understand the importance of slowing down and listening to the words of Jesus. You must make more time to slow down and sit at Jesus' feet. And don't just sit there with your mind out in left field. Sit and listen. Soak in as much as you possibly can from him so your life may be more like Christ. And Martha, so that you may also show others how they too can be Christ-like as well. Take a look at verse number 42. The Bible says, but one thing is needful, and Mary, your sister, you know, nobody likes to be outdone by their sibling. Nobody likes to say, hey, older sister, act like your younger sister. Mary, your sister, hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Again, Martha, those dishes that you're so worried about, they're clean now, but yeah, they'll be dirty again. That floor that you spent so much time on will get dirty again. Your tidy home will constantly need tending to in order to keep it spotless the way you want it to be when guests arrive. But instead of allowing your heart and mind to be cumbered about and wrapped up with cleaning and serving, take time to slow down. Slow down and sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. That's the title of our message tonight, Slow Down. And I know I need to slow down some when I speak. I constantly have this image of my grandmother in my mind telling me, slow down, slow down. And I'm thankful for that. But we need to all slow down in our lives and sit at Jesus' feet. Again, that's the title of the message tonight. There's nothing wrong with keeping your home tidy. Listen, I'm thankful for a clean home. I'm thankful for my wife that does a tremendous job keeping our home clean. Nothing wrong with that at all. We should take care of what the Lord has given us, but if that's the only thing that consumes your mind, then it starts to be a problem. Matthew Henry said in his commentary, earthly business can become a snare when it hinders us from serving God and feeding our souls. The many things she was troubled about were needless, while the one thing she neglected was needful, as the Bible says. Martha's care and work were good in their proper season and place, but now she had something else to do, which was unspeakably more needful and therefore should have been done first. She expected Christ to have blamed Mary for not doing as she did, but he blamed her for not doing as Mary did. And we are sure the judgment of Christ is according to truth. The day will come when Martha will wish that she sat where Mary did. Now we're almost finished. I'm getting done a little bit early tonight, hopefully. But in conclusion, I want you to understand this. During Christmas time and all the time for that matter, most people, let's be honest, are just too busy. We get wrapped up with so many things. And honestly, a lot of those things are what we would consider to be quote unquote good things. We get so consumed with good things and we've got this to do and we've got this to do and this to do when in all reality we need to slow down. Think about this time of year and what Christmas is all about. It is all about Christ. Amen. Now, we often make it about other things that truly don't matter in light of eternity. And we truly, a lot of us say, yeah, we're putting Christ first, but our actions do speak louder than our words. I've been guilty of that far too many times. Many things in our daily calendar, honestly, aren't that necessary. Now, obviously, you have to go to work, you have to pay bills and things like that, but some things could be weeded out of our calendar in order to spend more time sitting at the feet of Jesus, in order to spend more time teaching our children the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Spending time with your kids in the Word of God, that's a necessary thing. Telling your coworkers about Jesus instead of spending so much time talking about the latest gadget you purchased on Black Friday, that is necessary. Many people say that they're too busy to go to church. How many of you have heard that? Many people say that they're too busy to read their Bible. I had was helping some teenagers one time and speaking with the parents, and the parents told me, well, she just doesn't have time to do her devotions each day because she does this and this and this and this. And I was puzzled by that, honestly, that a parent would say, hey, my kid doesn't have time to do 5 minutes of devotion because of everything else that they're doing in their life. Their priorities were not in the right place. A lot of times we get busy this time of year buying Christmas presents, but too busy to hand the cashier a gospel tract. Something isn't right. And I was tested on this today. It's amazing how God has you practice what you preach. As I was finished writing this message today, walking up to the church building to get it out of the printer, I caught the two people out of the corner of my eye walking down the sidewalk, as people often do up and down this road. And I was walking, and I was like, I need to go get my sermon, and I need to do this and this and this. But the Lord slapped me upside the head and said, no, you're telling everyone else to slow down. Look for people to tell about Jesus. So now it's time to practice what you preach, buddy. So I didn't have any gospel tracts on me, so really quickly had to run inside. Some of you would like to see that. You get a good laugh out of that. Run back outside and hand these folks a gospel tract that were clearly from a different country, seemed to be a husband and wife, not even sure if they spoke English clearly. But, and by the way, I'm not trying to paint this picture of super Christian, not at all, because far too many times I have failed the test. Far too many times God says, hey, do this. Give this person a gospel tract. And I say, oh, Lord, what are they going to think about me? I don't want them to laugh at me. I don't want them to throw it back at me. I don't want this door slammed in my face. Listen, when God says go, don't say no. And again, God tested me with this today. Life is too short to live for ourselves. We must live for God. And let's be honest, we make time for what is truly important to us. Things that are truly important in our lives, things that are truly important for our family, we make time for those things. We, a lot of times, will move mountains in order to fit that particular thing into our schedule, in order to get this particular sporting event going, or whatever the case is. Let's make time for what is truly important to God and not just what is important to us. In this passage of Scripture, this is a setting in which we all can relate to. This story took place in a home. And don't you love how God does that? I mean, this could have taken place in a number of different locations, in a number of different settings, but the Lord had it take place in a home. We all live in some type of home. We all can relate to this. We all can think about some of these details about caring for our home and looking after our home and getting our home ready for when guests come and so on and so forth. This took place in a home, and again, we can all relate with that. We've given Martha, throughout this whole time, she has received the unhealthy and not so encouraging spotlight way too long. But before we cast too many stones at her direction, we must look at the simple truth that although she was busy, she still welcomed Jesus into her home. Question, is Jesus welcome in our homes? Now, before we say yes with our mouths, what have our actions said? Is Jesus truly welcome in our home? Mary was a hard worker, but she understood the importance of balance. Don't get me wrong, God doesn't want us to be lazy. Christians should be hard workers, but at the same time, he doesn't want us to be overly busy and consumed with busyness. Yes, that busyness could come again as a result of good things. But like Mary, let's choose that one needful thing, as we saw in our passage earlier. Let's slow down, take time, make time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and obey him. Now, as we begin invitation, I want to ask just a few questions. You know, it's a message is important as you're listening, as you're taking notes and things. But I tell our kids in junior church, the key time in our lives is when we apply it to our life. Just like paint has been beautifully applied to these walls, somebody had to put some work into it. The painter just didn't simply come in and set a bucket of paint and some brushes right in the middle of the room and say, okay, my job is finished. No, they hadn't even started. So as this message has come to an end, how do we take this and take the paintbrush of the Holy Spirit and apply this to our lives? The first thing is a question. Who are you in this story? You could be like Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to her master. It could be like Martha, who was cumbered about with much service, who was frustrated, who was so concerned with all the details, she missed the main thing. Or maybe you're not either one of those. Because truthfully, these ladies were followers of Jesus. These ladies knew who Jesus was. Jesus knew who they were. Are you truly a follower of Christ? Are you a Christian? That word is used loosely in our world today. A Christian is not simply someone that comes to church. A Christian is someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Someone who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus, understanding that he is the only way to heaven, just like he said in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So question, folks of Worth Baptist Church, maybe you've been coming here for a long time. Maybe this is your first time. Are you truly a Christian? If someone were to come to you and ask you, when did you get saved? Could you give them a time and date? You don't necessarily have to have a time and date, but could you give somebody a Bible reason why heaven is your eternal home because you've placed your faith in Jesus? I hope your answer is yes. If your answer is, I'm not really sure, or I don't know so, you can know so. The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life. Please don't leave here tonight without knowing for sure that heaven's your home. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one whom we celebrate his birth at Christmas time, lived a perfect sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried. He arose again on the third day. The Bible says he ascended up in the heaven, and right now he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Why did he do all that? Why did he endure that agony on the cross? Why did he endure those beatings from the cat of nine tails? Why did he have a crown of thorns smashed on his head and a spear stuck in his side? Why did he go through all those things? He went through those things so that you and I could be saved. Amen. Wow. Thank God for salvation and the free gift of salvation. It's not about what we have to do, but accepting what he has already done for us. So if you're not a Christian, accept Jesus today before it's too late. If you are a Christian, are you like Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet? Or are you like Martha, cumbered about with much service, stressed out, looking for things to do, looking for details that need to be tied up again? We all have times like that in our lives, so let's make sure we're spending time at Jesus' feet. Let's be more like Mary. Let's sit at Jesus' feet, listen to his word, and obey his commands. And let's all slow down this holiday season and say, God, what do you want to speak to me about? God, who are you bringing into my path that I need to tell about Jesus? Lord, it might be the cashier at Walmart. It might be the person across from me at the gas pump. Who is it? Let's do our part to tell others about him. Let's stand together with your heads bowed and eyes closed. What has God spoken to your heart about tonight? Again, maybe it's the matter of knowing for sure that Jesus is your Savior. Saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save me so that I can be a Christian, so that I can live for you, so I can have a home in heaven for all eternity. How many of you will be honest and say, honestly, if I were to die today, if the worst thing happened to me right now and I were to step out into eternity, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. Because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm not ashamed of it. I'd like for you to raise your hand at this time, please. Thank you so much. I appreciate your honesty. You can put your hand down. Something we do in junior church. If you raise your hand to that, I'd like to encourage you real quick just to pray and say, God, thank you for saving me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside of me and telling me what's right and what's wrong. If you weren't able to raise your hand to that, I hope you'll come here in just a minute when the piano starts to play and Brother Corey starts to sing. We'd love for someone to take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be saved. How you can be saved from your sins, saved from spending eternity separated from God in a place called hell, and have a home in heaven by accepting Jesus as your Savior. Again, the question, are you like Mary sitting at Jesus' feet? Or, let's be honest, have you been like Martha lately? Cumbered about with much service, more worried about the details that honestly don't matter in light of eternity. Let's do our part to be like Mary.